This is Channel 2, right? This is Channel 2, right? Oh, it's been such a long time. This morning, on Wednesday the 18th, June 69, I went down with Florence and we visited for an hour at least until we retired with Lois Dixon. And she showed us the house. She didn't get into the music room. That's for some other time. I'll say it pretty soon. And this is Channel 2, right? And it's Wednesday the 18th of June, 69. It's been such a long time, we've put it off and put it off. I dropped by there the other day, just tell her I was wanting to do something, that I thought I could work out something on that Palin. And she is going on a long trip up north next Monday. And I just couldn't stand to see all that time pass without something on tape. So Florence arranged it. She raised it for 1 o'clock almost, and that would be right in the middle of the hay. So we got in early. And Lois is booked up. You have to speak ahead of time to speak to her.
Yes.
Yeah. I think you just have to get used to yourself.
I can read slowly. Give me something to read, and I can read slowly.
Yeah.
When I get to talking and get excited, I just talk all over myself.
Yeah. You know, out here, Lois, it's so pretty. How you keep it so white?
Well, I recently had it painted.
That makes a difference, doesn't it?
And I got the man always paint the rug. And he said, paint the rug? I never painted the rug. Well, I said, you're just about to.
I never heard that one.
I guess his rug is 56 years old.
And that's what keeps it going?
Mm-hmm.
And you just paint it again and again?
Every time we paint anything, we paint this rug.
Yeah.
And then when I put this little setup on it, I said, I like that, all right, but how am I going to paint the rug?
Yeah.
Well, they said, you just have to jack it up. I said, jack up the house to paint the rug? Well, no, I said, I believe a man who knows how to paint can painstakingly paint around that thing.
Yeah. Well, now that's a little centerpiece, a table.
Mm-hmm.
That goes exactly.
Well, now the reason why, see, the original porch was not like this. The original porch came right along here. See that seam?
Yeah.
And this way.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
yeah.
My father decided that wasn't a porch.
Uh-huh.
It went all around the house, too, but that wasn't a porch.
Uh-huh.
And so he did that.
Oh, I see.
And everybody admired it. They thought it was quite the thing. That was done way back in the 20s, I guess. A long, long time ago. And then way after a while, William Christian told me one day, he was riding by there, he said, Miss Lois, you know that roof is sagging.
Oh.
And he had a very definite eye for levels. And so I said, what do you mean? So he said, come out here and I'll show you. Well, I looked at it and I decided he was right. And I was,
yeah.
I got so frightened, I was afraid it was going to fall on me before night.
Yes.
Then I began to investigate who could do something about that. But that was a long, I don't know why my father didn't think of that at the time.
Yeah.
That was a long stretch there without any support.
Well, now, when you have somebody to call on like that sort of advise you, that's
mm-hmm.
a nice thing, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, I never thought about it. Mm-hmm. William saw, and no one else ever saw it. But he said he had, you know, some people have that. I had been in, I was in the doctor's waiting room one time, and somebody got up and went and changed the adjusted picture.
Oh, really?
It about run crazy. It wasn't more than that much off,
yeah.
But they just couldn't stand it. So
well,
William
now, where,
had that kind of eye.
Where did he get that?
Well, I don't know. Some people just have a better eye for levels. And
he never worked in it, did he?
No. Uh-uh.
He's always a money man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just ran down here, and I said, what are you going to do about it? And, he said, well, we can just put some beams. And, I said, I like that. And I like beams. I think that's picture red. That's all right. Let's put beams. Then we began to say, now where are you going to put the beans? Well, there was no rhyme or reason to where you could put these beans.
Oh.
And well, I said, there's got to be some pattern, some symmetry to beams. Just can't put a plank up there, just
uh-huh.
anywhere. And so, well, he said, that's the only way to do it. I know you don't want a post right down in the middle of the floor.
Yeah.
As a prop.
It's all right, you see.
Yeah.
That's a little, that's where the wood is.
Mm-hmm.
Won't hold the paint.
And I said, if you bring a little table something around, I said, we always had that table in the middle floor. I'm not used to having all this floor space. And so he came up with this, and we just thought it was the cutest idea.
Who was that?
Mr. Kyler.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Mr. Kyler did this.
Well, good for him. Yeah.
Over there by the ice plant.
Yeah, he's still living over there? Yeah, he doesn't do too well.
No, I think he might. He might have had something to do with, but he had a grand shop there. He had wonderful tools.
Yeah.
And the sun came down, and he thought that they should move back up to Indiana, where the children and grandchildren kind of look after them at their age. So the first thing he did, he put up for sale that shop. And they, it sold before night, I think.
Yeah.
Now then, they can't sell the house.
And he got no shop.
And he has no hammer. He has he has no anything to drive a nail.
Yeah. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he makes it.
Yeah. You know, they've been married 66 years.
Yeah. Lois?
That's right there.
Look at that. You've got all sorts of beautiful things on this. Just look.
Well, I tell you, let me tell you a little history of this piece.
Oh, yes. Now, that's a big buffet type of mirror.
Yes, and it used to be on a hat rack.
Yeah.
Old-fashioned hat rack. And the base of the hat rack is in here.
Yeah. Oh, what a seat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that was a place for... for storage things.
Yeah.
I keep a lot of party things and, you know.
Yeah.
And this, that top, was on top of that mirror. The mirror went up this way.
Yeah. Oh, that was on top of the mirror.
That was on top of the mirror. And I decided I wanted it that way. And since then, I had thought I should have had my head examined. As it was. Would have been much more valuable, interesting piece of furniture than tearing it apart. Is that true, how our taste and appreciation of value has changed?
Yeah.
At the time I did it, I was a little ashamed of the old hat rack.
Oh, yeah.
So I tore it all apart, turned it upside down this way, took these off, replaced them, so they would, it would serve as a hat rack.
Yeah.
And then my dear uncle hung his back steps in there one time, and it didn't stay put. And came down, and I had some real lovely things here, and it broke every one of them.
Oh, don't tell.
So after that, I said, beware. Beware when you hang that Stetson hat there. That it stays put and doesn't come down and crush my little pretties. I had a larger blown glass piano.
Uh-huh.
And he said, well, go try and replace those things.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't replace one the size, but I did get a small one. And even has a little bench.
Oh, a little bench to go with the piano.
Yes, sir. Isn't that cute?
Yeah.
But a size larger, I liked better. These other things not so valuable, but I did regret losing the little piano.
Mm-hmm.
And now then, I'd rather have that old-fashioned hat rack here. And it had metal container of some kind for umbrellas. And I did the same thing upstairs with a high top bed. I cut it down.
That's when you were growing up.
That's when I was growing up.
And you were sensitive to what people thought.
Yes, sir. I thought they were old timey. And soon after the Florida Power Company came through here with their current, everybody began to get, all the girls began to get bed lights.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't put a bed light on that high bed. So I got someone to come and take out the middle panel and put the top railing back. Then I put a little plastic bed light. And I had a struggle then. Other people thought that that wasn't the thing to do. Well, I said I that's the way I wanted at the time.
Well, this is it's amazing. I think that any of the old furniture.
But it gives you so much to talk about.
Yeah.
See, I get to explain to everybody about the plastic bed light on the old on the old bedstead.
Yeah.
And I have one bedstead, very much just like it, that's still intact. So I
like an
old handmade bed upstairs.
I'd love to see it.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Today, you know, children used to love the slide down banister. I guess they still do if their banister is anywhere around.
Yeah.
And nowadays, I do my pressing up here on this sitting porch. Uh-huh. And the telephone rings. And I get down just as fast as ever I can, and somebody has always just hung up. And I tell them I got there as quickly as I could without sliding down the banisters. And I think I'm past the day and age of sliding down the banisters.
Well, that's a good one. That's a good one to slide down.
Uh-huh. Right down there like that.
Or is this the one?
Mm-hmm. And there's your little plastic girl bed light.
And it's come way on up
uh-huh.
here.
Mm-hmm. And we took out the middle panel and then put this top one back on.
Yeah. And this is that same little plastic?
That's the same. The same bed light.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think the bed looks so bad. Like that.
No.
Do you?
No.
The height of it?
No.
And this is a nice old piece. This is very old. Mm-hmm. It belonged to my aunt in North Georgia. And she had lived in this old home place 50 years or more. And her eyesight was beginning to get not so good. And the house was sealed. Her husband liked woodwork. Beautiful woodwork, beautiful green. But it made the house dark. And so about the time it became popular to use ivory paint on furniture. So she had a man come out from town and she put ivory paint all over everything she had to lighten it. And it was a relief to her eyes to have some brightness in the house. So she just had everything painted with white ivory. And I brought this home when she died. I brought this home and I took it to Gainesville. I had a man from Gainesville come and get it. And I asked him to remove that. Oh, he said, lady, don't know whether I can ever get all that paint off all this beading.
Hmm.
Yeah. Mm. So when he brought it back, I said, you did a wonderful job. But he said, you have no idea how long it took me and how hard it was to do. There must have been 5 coats of paint on that beading.
Now, he made this.
Huh?
The man up there made this?
No, No, he removed the... I don't know. I don't know the history. No, I don't think so.
No, he just had it.
I think so.
And they just put ivory paint on
mm-hmm.
it.
I think it was bought in Atlanta.
Oh, I see. But now I don't think I ever saw anything like that. That little...
And you know, it's
decoration.
A lot of time, old-time pieces of where they don't work.
Yeah.
Some of it.
Yeah.
But see how well that works?
Yeah.
And it's in perfect good shape when we brought it down here. All but that one knob, and that was in the drawer. So the man repaired it and put that back.
What do you know? Now that's a chest of drawers, 4 drawers,
mm-hmm.
with this top with 2 little drawers on it,
mm-hmm.
and the mirror.
I think that's a beautiful piece.
Just marvelous, beautiful. And it's clean. It's mm-hmm. so clean and
mm-hmm.
nice.
And I think it did a wonderful job getting that paint off and restoring the original finish.
What is that, oak?
No, that's walnut.
That's walnut. Walnut is what they like to use mm-hmm. a lot, isn't it?
And I'm satisfied that was bought in 1894.
Mm-hmm.
No, wait a minute. 1884.
Yeah,
this, my aunt and my uncle, Billy Trim, that was William Trimmer. We call him Uncle Billy.
Mm-hmm.
They were married in 1884.
Mm-hmm.
And they went down to Atlanta and bought a lot of the things that were in their house furnishing.
What do you call him?
Trimmer.
Just Trimmer. Trimmer.
Trimmer.
Trimmer.
The Trimmer family was from Ireland.
Mm-hmm. And then they set up housekeeping.
Mm-hmm. In North Georgia.
Yeah.
And they never had any children. And he was 16, about 16 years older than she.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived a lovely, interesting, the little places remind me on a small scale of Tehran.
Oh, really?
had a beautiful farm.
Uh-huh.
Lowland.
Yeah.
And the river, and we used to go walk up on the bluff, we call it, and look down over the lowlands.
The bottom.
The bottoms. That's right. The bottom land.
Right.
And then they had the line of the farm on that side was marked by a row of apple trees, Arkansas blacks.
Yeah.
Beautiful dark red apples.
Yeah.
That was up in Gordon County. Gordon County, Georgia. And this is a beautiful Bible, isn't it?
Well, what do you know? Just look at that. Well, what do you know?
Illustrated History of the Bible. And I use it a lot.
Oh, do you?
For reference. And I keep it up here, and then I move this chair over. It's heavy. That Bible's heavy to walk up and down the steps with it.
Yeah.
And I have no place downstairs very well for it.
Yeah.
So I keep it up here on this table.
Well, now there are those
it's
people.
Let's pull it, shade.
He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Now there's a young man with his elders there against one of those old walls.
He that walketh with wise men shall be wise.
Isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
I see the children grow up with that, you know,
uh-huh.
And that's in their mind.
I just value this, the laments for the death of Judas Maccabeus, the cup of consolation after an Eastern funeral.
Mm-hmm. When did he die?
My uncle died in the late 20s.
And did you get this in?
No, my aunt continued to live until about 34.
Yeah.
Then I got it then.
And you had it since
I've had it since then.
Well, that's as big as that old fashioned dictionary, Lawrence. That's huge. And the print's big enough to read.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. It came to pass after these things. Yes, sir.
And let's see their record, the family records. And it is a family Bible. That's part of the Bible. I find them every now and then. It's mostly Tremia. William, Marcus, Tremia, and Mamie, Lucille Willingham, were married December 18th, 1884.
Uh-huh. And that's beautiful handwriting, isn't it?
Now, he bought this Bible.
Oh, isn't that beautiful handwriting?
He bought this Bible before they were married. He bought the Bible in June, and they were married in December of 1884. And all this furniture was bought around that time.
Yeah.
And in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I see Florence.
Florence is out there calling.
He drives his car.
Yeah.
About a couple minutes later.
Well, we were just drawing this old Tremia family Bible.
Uh-huh.
You've seen it, haven't you?
I've seen it, didn't you?
Well, look at that beautiful thing. Well, I never saw anything like that, Lois.
Well, that's curious stuff in that of that time too.
Yes. Now, is that an old piece?
That's an old dresser.
You want me to go get your phone? You want me to get your phone?
Well, no. This is a wedding picture of my father and mother.
Yes. Uh huh. Oh yes.
It seems that was quite a popular pose for. For wedding couples, I've seen a lot of them at that of that age that were posed kind of like that.
Well, now you see, I never noticed that before. They got the that must have been a rather daring pose.
Similar to the family pose with the father with his hand over his chest.
They're close together.
And this is a picture of yours truly when she was 6 months old.
That's it. 6 months old. Oh, what do you know? Well, look at all those clothes.
Yeah.
Look at all the lace on the bottom. Handwork that they used to have time to do. Haven't changed a bit, Lois. You haven't changed a bit.
The Hoover brothers were very fine photographers in this area. No, they were from Stark. And one of the Hoover brothers married Mrs. McFadden's older sister. Ms. McFadden was a Thomas. And there were four girls in their family. And one of the Hoover brothers married this Thomas girl. And so all the pictures around here taken at that time were taken by the Hoover brothers.
Mm-hmm. Were they in McIntosh?
No, they've been stuck, but because they had married, one of them had married a McIntosh girl. But we felt like we knew we were in the know, you know,
sure.
We'd get better service, more interest from the
sure.
photographer because we were known. So you see old pictures, and then every one of them will have Hoover brothers down there.
Mm-hmm. Now call some of these names.
And they call this Hoover brothers artist.
Oh, yeah.
Artist.
How about
artist.
That?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You see, if I call it something, it won't be right. You just call, you know, talk about it a little bit.
Well, I think this is a dresser. I think that's what they would call a dresser. And it takes the place of a dressing table because it has these various size drawers and doors. And then this would
now,
be
but
for,
that's
this
a,
would be for long garments, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Would this possibly
and this,
be for
this,
wigs?
This
during those times, they wore hair pieces, wraps and things.
Uh-huh.
Did they use them for that?
It could be.
Now you got one long drawer.
One long drawer.
Then two
and
little
and
drawers
and
down here, and it's right low.
Mm-hmm.
This is a dressing table sort of arrangement.
It could serve as a dressing table.
But it was, yeah.
But there was no bench or chair that came with it that I know of.
And then at the side of this long mirror,
mm-hmm.
you have these two things. Here's this door opens and a little drawer at the top of the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then a ledge up there. That's a lot of
things. And
space.
Then it has a long mirror. That seemed to be a popular style of mirror because you could see where your underskirt showed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you dress, the dress hung is right. And I have another one in the other room in there. See that long mirror?
Yeah.
Now then, people don't have that. Why do they have?
They
buy a mirror, go on the back of the bathroom door or the bedroom door
yeah.
to see the full length of their costume.
Yeah.
It's a good mirror, too. It's beveled edge. You can tell. Plate glass.
And so much stuff my father and mother bought was oak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot that my aunt and uncle bought, that was 10 years earlier. Was walnut.
Oh.
There isn't a flaw in that mirror.
Mm-hmm. Your room, Lois?
This was my room when I was a
yeah.
girl, yes, because that was my bed, and I wanted the light fixtures right.
Yeah, this was your room.
Uh-huh, this was my room.
Mm-hmm. But now
as a girl.
You don't use it now.
No, I moved downstairs now.
Yeah.
I moved downstairs. You see, again, we have these little drawers and cabinets up here, but still have one long drawer. See, that's the same style, one long drawer.
Well, what do you know?
And the two short drawers.
Yeah.
And again, the full-length mirror, that's
yeah.
seeing your...
Except this is much wider than the other
yeah.
one,
mm-hmm.
that mirror.
That's a grand mirror in there.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Now, see, the other bed was like this.
Oh, yeah.
And what we did, we took out this panel
yeah.
and then just dropped that down.
Yeah.
But I left this one to save my own neck because there were friends and neighbors who didn't approve of what I did when I did it.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I said, I'm not going to do both of them, but I want that one because I want a light.
Yeah.
Where I can lie in bed and read like the other girls.
Yeah.
mm-hmm.
Yes,
sir. That's a high board there.
And when I first came home, from college, I said I wished I had a dressing table. And so for my first birthday, after I came home from college, they gave me this
mm-hmm.
and this chair.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very proud of it and enjoyed it, but never thought too much about it. But an antique man came here one day, and he wanted to steal the place, and he just had a fit about this. I said, What's so fine about that? These Queen Anne legs, he said.
Yeah.
And that same man then had a fit about these things. Those hinges.
What about the hinges?
Well, they're just old, different, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I had never thought anything about the hinges either. But that same man was attracted by the hinges.
But to him, he could see
uh-huh.
They're carved, if you get up close.
Mm-hmm. Are they?
Mm-hmm.
Got figures on them.
And see, the woodwork up here is grooved. Downstairs it's carved with a design. There are two designs down in the downstairs woodwork.
Mm-hmm.
The ivy, the oak and the ivy, and a floral design. Evidently, Mr. Price, who had the house built, didn't like plain wood. Because this is grooved. And downstairs it is carved with a pattern. But all the fireplaces are alike.
How about your sash ties, are they?
Hmm.
The sash ties, are they old too?
Yeah, they're old too.
They look like they're made out of shell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now that holds your curtain back so the light can come in.
The shell with a pearl in the middle.
This is a little balcony.
Well, what do you know?
From which I so beautifully could have Julianed.
Yeah.
And all we needed was Romeo.
All we needed was Romeo. He never did roam this way.
Yeah. Well, what do you know? You can just step out of your room and that little balcony.
That's right. Uh-huh.
Well, that's cute. And sit out there and read your book or the newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Now,
did you know that was out there?
This was the master's bedroom. And my father and mother used to sit out there. Mosquitoes weren't as bad then as they are now.
Oh,
yes.
No. Yeah.
But I remember they had two small chairs. And they just sit out there in the evening.
Uh-huh.
How about that?
Yeah.
She has a sleeping porch out here, too.
And I draw my old frames. You see these frames in antique places, and they had portraits in them.
Oh.
So I took them out and have mirrors in them.
Oh, I see. And I just put mirrors in them.
Mm-hmm. And I brought this from my aunt's. That's an old piece. And I had another one downstairs similar to it. And I removed the picture and chestnuts. In Gainesville, put another picture in for me. It was a picture from the Literary Digest. Do you remember the Literary Digest?
Sure.
Well, there was a year or two there. They carried on each issue a print of a well-known painting.
Oh.
And we were taking the magazine at that time, and we saved them all. Especially for those prints.
Yeah.
And they had one about this size of St. Cecilia. I thought it was a very lovely print. And so I cut that out, and the chestnuts put it in this frame. I'll show it to you and go down and say it.
Yes.
I'm very proud of that.
Lois, I've seen frames like this. Now, you see, that's metal.
Mm-hmm. Now, mine had this, too, but I took it off. I took this off so I could hang it on the wall. But the one I have down there was mounted like this, too.
This has metal, and you just stick your picture on there, just clip it on there, and that's all there is to it, isn't it? Well, isn't that nice? Seemed like I remember one that had so much weight to it, like picking up an iron.
Mm-hmm. I'll be sure to show you that one downstairs. I'm very proud of that. I enjoy it very much. And this was the sleeping porch. But now, the original house, this was the bathroom. That window was in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
But it made, and all the old houses in town that built about that time had the same feature. If they had water, running water at all, they had one bathroom upstairs and it was open from one room. But now, people in the other rooms, to get to this, would have to come through this room. And everybody still has it that way. Well, after my father bought this, he didn't think that was such a good idea. So he extended this porch out to make it wide enough for a sleeping porch. And then he carried this all the way back over the kitchen. That was just a kind of, we call it a scuttle hole over the kitchen. And he put the bathroom back there so that you can come from the hall from any room to the bathroom.
Oh, yes.
See?
Yes, walk clear through here to the hall.
See, into the bathroom. Uh-huh. And that's much better than, all this wasn't here at all. This was just into the house.
Yeah.
But he set it out. We thought he was pretty small.
Yeah.
Now then, it's so much more convenient. to come from the bedrooms to the bath here, mm-hmm. instead of having to go through that other bedroom.
Hmm. Rather phenomenal,
it's
too. There's no dust out
it's
here.
It's a sizable bedroom. I mean, a sizable bedroom.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We saved the old marble laboratory.
Well, look at that.
That was in the other bathroom. Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's pretty marble laboratory.
Mm-hmm. And there was another one just like it in my room that had running water in it. But it was those pipes froze during the freeze of 1894-95, and that Mr. Henry Price, who was living here at that time, never did have it repaired. And some of that broken laboratory is under this house now.
Oh.
Right under this bed.
And my father never did put the pipes and restore water in there either.
Yeah.
And we just repaired that wall. Mr. Price, I don't think, had done that. And we use it for closet space. And all the rooms have closets, which was something in those days.
Oh, yeah.
People didn't have closets. And they had the wardrobe. But every room has a closet, but not a big walk-in closet like people have now. Mm-hmm. But it was something we thought to have a closet.
I noticed you have the old and the new together
in
here.
My sister wrote me, when she was coming down with Dick, you know, 2-3 years ago when they came out for Christmas. She said, "Sister, do you mind me telling you? But you put a better light over the mirror where Dick is going to shave." But I don't think he would like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, light. So I thought, well, I just leave that there. The man said it was good or trouble to get it down, and we put the that one up there, especially for Dick.
Mm-hmm. Now, that long tube, that fluorescent or something.
Uh-huh. Fluorescent, but she still has her hanging one.
Yeah. Well, that makes a good bit of difference. When you turn that on.
And then when I have guests in the house, I bring this all night.
Oh, yeah.
And a little one in the hall, too.
Yeah. A night light.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's right, civilized.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
we are getting civilized. Yes. We're getting more and more civilized.
I keep a flashlight right there with the bed.
Uh-huh.
If I didn't, I'd just crack my shin all the time. Anytime I had to get up and look around.
I was noticing the wood on the walls. That appears to be board and batting in a way. But groove, but it's double. And most of it you see is one.
Well, this was used a lot in at that time. Now then, people are covering up. I've had people come, "Why don't you put some on it?" They don't like this groove, this beaded. No,
beaded. You don't.
What do they call
that?
It? Beaded, beading.
You don't see
it. Well, I've said, don't send me. Mm-hmm. Not the sense that I want to go to the expense of putting something else on top of it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's foolish for me to do.
I'm
confused on where they are. They could start downstairs instead of in there.
Yeah.
And I'd have a lawsuit on my hand, wouldn't I?
That's right. You have to get that disability insurance, household insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a little light hit at the head of your stairs, mm-hmm. so you can see.
And I let it burn day and night when I have people in the house.
Yeah. Well, it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That is dark right there.
Yeah, that is dark.
Even with your big light on.
And these pictures we brought for my aunt Sue. You've seen those old prints.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think somebody must have come along in the country. Some traveling salesman, and so these.
Yeah.
Here's another one. You've seen that many times.
Yes.
And this.
Yes. Now, all these from your aunt?
Yes, uh-huh.
Is this the same ribbon?
Yeah, it's the same ribbon.
I think it is.
Yeah.
And then this one, I've always liked this one.
Psyche, isn't it? Psyche,
the
poop. Right over your mantle. And this is your room, where you grew up.
Mm-hmm. And you see, this is where they had the laboratory.
Oh, yes.
But no one ever put the pipes and the connections back.
Sort of interesting, they're getting back to that idea now in modern architecture to put a laboratory into the bedrooms because it's so expensive to build so many baths.
Yeah.
And it was in that day expensive to build baths.
Mm-hmm.
So
Negro slaves made this bed.
I didn't know they could come.
On the banks of the Tupelo River, on the old Tremere farm.
Why, Lois, I didn't know that nigger slaves could carpenter like this.
You can tell it's handmade. Those things are not perfectly accurate.
Oh.
And I say, I could be kicked out of this. I said the master Everly drove off on his horse one day and didn't leave directions back exactly how to do. And I think they put this together wrong.
What is convex?
Don't you see the carving is all on the inside?
Yeah.
I think the old master
yeah.
meant for it to be the other way around.
Yeah.
And he came back probably drunk and didn't know the difference anyway,
yeah.
So it remained like that.
Well, now that's the foot post.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the carving is on the inside,
yes, sir,
towards the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And on the outside is plain. And clear. I think that's beautiful.
They even have it curved. You know, most beds. Parts down here are straight,
uh-huh.
And this one has a curve in it, just like the foot, all the way. Most of them are just straight boards.
Well, what do you know?
And this piece over here has been broken off and had to be put back.
Yeah.
See?
Oh, yes. Yes.
You see, all that carving is way down there, even on the inside.
Uh-huh.
And it's short.
I thought it looked a little small.
It's short.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty
short. Now, the other two beds in there, my father had me. They're about 6 feet tall.
Oh.
He was a tall man.
Oh, those two in there were made special.
Yeah.
With all the carving, did he have them done at a factory?
No, and all they had to do was make these pieces longer.
Oh, I see.
And then buy a long mattress.
Yes,
part.
Mm-hmm.
I forget.
And
what
springs. I have replaced the springs with better springs, I thought, since my mother passed away in 1940. And I had time getting the springs.
Get them long enough.
Mm-hmm. They had to be made to order. And the mattresses, now I think this is good mattress. And everybody sleeps on it, compliments this mattress.
Mm-hmm.
And that one in there too. And they made the Ocala Mattress Factory made these out of some old mattresses that I had.
Oh. Oh.
And it's a good sleeping mattress.
How long has this wallpaper been up out of curiosity?
Oh, a long, long time.
It's so dry. It must be a dry house.
Yeah.
And it hasn't split at all.
Yeah. Just a good ticking.
Uh-huh. I don't know whether Ocala Mattress Factory is still in business now or not. It belonged to the Fur family. And those Furs are mighty fine men. And they did mighty fine work. But I think they're all gone, and I don't know who owns it now.
Did the slaves make this too?
No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Now, the piece across the back to hang your towel on, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, little
washstand. We call that a washstand.
Little washstand.
Little washstand.
Yeah.
And
hung the towels.
Little washstand.
Mm-hmm.
It has these open doors,
mm-hmm.
And then one wide drawer, two wide drawers.
They used to have a big pitcher and basin on them.
Yes, bowl and pitcher.
Bowl and pitcher.
A bowl and pitcher.
And up here is where the mirror would be, is a little rod for the towel. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Now, Lois, you don't want to work too much over
there. Oh, you should dress it down to the natural wood. And I'd love to have it done.
Mm-hmm.
But if I did that, I'd have to change all this other white. And we like the white because, see, we have the dark ceilings and the dark woodwork, and we try to build up lightness. That's why I have this white rugs in the hall downstairs. There's none of our rugs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, I hate to do all the furniture over.
But
so
you
I just have
You've got
it.
The bed,
mm-hmm.
And the bureau.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the
washstand.
Washstand.
And table and chair. You know, I just love this.
There's a little straight chair with split bottom. And a little sewing chair over there.
And
this thing here.
That's
a towel rack.
That's a towel rack.
And they used to keep it by near the washstand for spare towels.
Oh.
You don't think people know that now when they go to antique stores, because they lots of times sell them for bedrooms for blankets.
Well,
I imagine it is.
I put the extra covers over here now too, when I have guests here. The one time I said, here's a spare blanket if you need it during the night.
I think that's what they, it's just like a lot of things. You like these old glass ornaments off a telephone pole that sell for paperweight.
Then I indicate that you can put one of the bags there. And I bought this one of my pet peeves, is visiting somewhere and have no place to put my suitcase.
Yeah, just put it on the floor.
Just put it on the floor or on the rocking chair on the arm over there. It's a mess. I've visited a lot of places, and I'm ever thankful if I have a place to put my suitcase. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, I will try and see that that doesn't happen to my guests. I'll provide a place for two suitcases.
Lois, isn't this for
hat pins?
No, that's hair.
Hair that's comb. For rats. They used to comb their hair.
Well, yes, and your hair comes out with it. And you put your hair comb together, and you save the hair comb, then you have a rat made out.
Rat, that's what I didn't know which one.
Have a what?
Bat. A rat.
As you put it on.
They used to wear their hair bouffant.
Yes, now, she had, a long time ago, instead of teasing it, they'd have should have a rat on it.
Take the ball of hair that you had combed out and stick it underneath, and then pull the hair over it, and then it would be the high pompadour that you used to see in the old pictures with the high necks. You don't see these very often.
I have one downstairs too, and this one.
I know they have some similar to this. They used to put the long hat pins in. Only they had holes in the top like salt shakers, didn't they?
And this is an old picture.
That's for the pins.
That came from my Uncle John.
A little plate. Are they safe pins?
Collectors like things that have legs.
And their legs are not knocked off?
No.
What?
Where the legs are still on.
Every dresser used to always have something like this, so the comb and brush.
They've come back to that now, too. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. Which I didn't
know. This is Angus.
That's almost a clover leaf.
And they were great painters, the Angus and the Carsons. I thought maybe it was hand painted, but it isn't.
Yeah. Is that China? Mm-hmm. Or?
No, I think it's China.
Something like that.
Sounds like
it's old.
Yeah, hand painted roses. No.
Is this just a powder container here?
Lois, who's interested? Who do you show these things to?
I have a lot of this has come. Flora brings some people down sometimes.
Oh, does she?
I have a lot of visitors stop by. The interest in the house from downstairs. And then I just say, well, I think they'll say it then, but you won't see that. I'll bring them up. And then they come special to see the fish, a lot of people. These mounted fish I have. And then for the fish, we'll look at the beds.
This is something that you don't see much now. It's this type of handwork in the dress of scarf. Well, years ago, they used to do this on little girls' dresses.
I have a whole set of that.
A little
and here's something else.
Cloth to cover your dresser with handwork on it.
Yes, this particular kind you don't see now at all.
That had a little pink and then a blue.
I remember my great grandmother used to have some like this.
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
I have a whole set of those.
Goodness.
Now that's old.
Yeah. You do that in the wintertime?
I think little girls.
I used to love to embroider.
Oh, you did that when you were a little girl.
Little girls used to, I think, start out with
For your hope
embroidery
chest.
For your hope
chest. For your hope chest.
Started when you were little and hoped that you'd have it full when you got married.
Yeah.
You had a big cedar chest in there. Was that your hope chest?
That gave them something to do all the time they're growing up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And I have some thoughts out here that I did for my hope chest.
Now, this is out in the hall.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You usually had a big cedar chest, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't
mm-hmm.
they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to sit there, but they're full of other things now. But
And you did that.
Yes, uh-huh.
Pillowcases. Mm-hmm. And it's got just a little color on it.
See, yeah. I crocheted the little basket, and then embroidered. They about lost their color.
That's a flower basket.
Mm-hmm. She even has little leaves on there.
Mm-hmm.
Can see them.
Yes,
but during the minute washings, they've lost some of their color. Powder box. A musical powder box.
Oh.
This looks like a church scarf, Lois.
Music
it?
Boxes lay in the same position. Sometime get stuck.
Yeah.
By slapping the wooden base two or three times. And you're supposed to wind it.
Make them out of plastic now.
Well, I don't think it's going to work. But anyway, when it used to play, it would say, I can't get them up.
Yeah.
And I'd play this in the mornings to get them down to breakfast.
Is this a church scarf? It has writing on it.
I don't know, honey. I used to love to collect these.
You mean this huge fish here?
Yeah, I caught this. Uh-huh.
You caught that fish. Well, that fish is as long as you are.
They're a little longer.
A little longer.
It was 6 feet. I'm not quite 6 feet.
Goodness.
I know it was 6 feet because at that time the taxidermist charged $7 a foot, the mallet.
Oh.
And it cost us $42. Now then, the taxidermist charges $1 an inch.
Yeah.
I asked one of them the other day.
Yeah. He hadn't gone up with a foot. He just does it by the end.
Yeah, uh-huh, he does it by the end.
Let me see now. I was going to
she had Romola and Adam Bede and all down here.
Huh?
Down here she has the works of George Eliot, the real old volumes.
Yeah.
Noah McFloss, Adam Bede, Romola,
all of them. I'd like to just sit down and read them all.
I think there's something else I want to show you here, but I can't think of it. But I'll show you this. Now, when I have guests in here, they can put the suitcase there.
Yeah.
Or I have
right here on your seated chair.
Uh huh. And then I have this too. They have two bags, uh-huh. And then I have another one over here.
Yeah.
So that's one of my pet peeves. If you get it.
You are hip gone. Places
I don't like to put my suitcase on the floor, and the stool way down here. They got a clean handkerchief, a fresh handkerchief or something.
Now your little cedar chest right in front of your old fireplace.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know those mantles are all decorated, aren't
mm-hmm.
they?
And they're all just alike. Now this is another. This was given to me. Made in India.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah.
They do beautiful carving too, don't they?
Yeah.
It's another old frame up there too.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I just love these mirrors.
They're unusually fine ones. You can tell because they don't have a flaw in it because the ones that are inexpensive have that just painted back.
Yeah.
And they soon peel. But these are real plate glass with those beveled edges. And they'll be here another 100 years. They have no distortion in them.
I like my wallpaper here too, don't you? It's kind of neat.
Yes.
Like that?
If you picked one of those old mirrors up, it would weigh about 50 pounds.
Right, Mark?
It's so heavy you could hardly pick it up. That's bad, all right.
I'm sure that we brought this from my Aunt Mimi, too. She only has one. I put that there. And you know why I have that there?
Uh-uh.
Because it's light.
Oh, yes.
I thought that would help someone to identify the step.
Uh-huh.
So I like to display that old
step. Now, what's that for? Just ornamental?
Mm-hmm. I don't think you would put water and put flowers in there.
Oh, that's a big flower vase.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd
be delighted.
I don't know whether Florence has noticed this or not. Now, see, that was mine. It was a larger frame than the one upstairs.
Mm, yes.
Uh-huh.
I remember seeing that.
Yes.
That's that metal frame.
Uh-huh.
Like the one you
and
had.
And that's St. Cecilia. And this was on the cover of one of the old
literary
digest.
Playing her piano.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And we took, see, it was one of those mounted kind too. Uh-huh. But we took that out and put that slug hanging on the wall.
Yes.
And Chesley just had a fit about the job. They said, we wish we had a lot of these we could sell. We could sell them every day.
Oh, really?
And we kept that design. That's where it was on the magazine.
It's well placed
like
in the velvet
that.
Chair below it too. It reminds you.
Then I like that print of St. Cecilia.
You could have that in your music room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think she has all of her old friends and teachers in there.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I got messages too.
Oh, did you? Well, what? I didn't know you.
Yeah, I've been used enough to go deep sea fishing down in Boca Grande.
Oh, really?
And that's funny what those old piano teachers used to tell her. She can tell you with the convincing air that it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And when you're taking piano and you made a mistake, she says, now, this is Mr. Capriccio. And he said, and it was just like, and you know, this was, what, 50 years ago. And she says it just like he told her a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Just as clear in her mind as it can be.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's Ishmael. They just live with their experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can remember, too, when she tells me. I remember the old gray-haired fellow up there. You know, it comes to my mind when I get off the track.
Sure.
Passes it on. She tells us to the children. And so these people are going to continue to live. They probably didn't know it. Maybe through Lois.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Told about the time she almost got expelled from Shorter College because she didn't count and almost scared her to death because she couldn't imagine ever being expelled from school.
Yeah.
But it was because she wasn't counting.
She wouldn't count.
Wouldn't count. And
Mr. Dr. Petruccio.
Yeah, he just told her she just... would be dismissed from school. She couldn't count by the time she got back. It scared her so bad she didn't know what to do. A little girl from McIntosh,
yeah.
And the idea that she'd ever be expelled from school was about too much.
Fine.
I don't tell me about a rhythm class she was in. And of course, when she was telling me this, she was all of 71. And she could still remember the steps and the claps. And so we were in the music room. She got up and would clap and show the different rhythms and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just like it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
This is the one thing that always strikes me about her is this enthusiasm was there then. She still has it. And for everything, you know, just like how many, she's been teaching for over 46 or 7 years.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, preserving this, so. All the dowlings, you notice, they aren't broken out up there.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in.
Mm-hmm.
She even has them over here in a little arch that goes to the back.
Well, you know, right out here on the fence.
On the fence.
That little carved
pieces.
Piece.
She still has some in her garage.
Yeah.
A few pieces left from when the house was built.
That makes a little arch there you walk under when you go through the gate.
Mm-hmm. I suppose that was the back garden years ago.
Yeah.
Someday, have her show you the carriage house behind.
Uh-huh.
Where they kept the carriage and the horses and the help's quarters. Pretty long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the new house she has is an upright grand.
Upright grand.
It has a resonance fiber to the... to it that you don't get in the regular old grand. It's real. It sounds like a grand piano.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It's a Musicek. Musicek? You don't see those too often now. Carved, too, on the front.
Mm-hmm.
Which you don't too often see.
Action's good?
Yes, the pedal is about worn off down below, but other than that, it sounds fine.
Yeah.
And it's just a teeny bit off in the tuning, so it can never be perfect, but just a fraction off.
Yeah.
All the children like it, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they feel grand when they play it.
Well, you know they do.
Yes.
And pieces, it's so easy. The action's very easy on it because it's been used so much. Mm-hmm. And it was there when she was a little girl. Parents bought it for her.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So it's her old piano.
Yes, and she's been living here since she was about, I think, two or 3 years old, so it would be 70. Oh, about 70-something years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This girl that lives across the street here had a heart attack. She's had two now.
Rattle? Who?
Phillips.
I don't know her.
Her husband used to be a railroad man here. Up until recently, very active, alert person. But then, just all out of the clear, she had this stroke.
You supposed to come up and read a little bit. You didn't know what in the hell you were getting into, did you?
Well, it was a good bit more reading than I thought. I will admit that sometimes it was under circumstances that would have amused a lot of people. Occasionally, I was pushing the baby around in the stroller trying to read Hawthorne,
yeah.
You know, and then by the time I got to Thoreau, she was in the sandbox.
Yeah.
See, so I can always mark it by what stage of development she was in.
No.
Really?
If,
I wanted to go.
You see, it's like, it just changes things completely. It's like Thoreau. You read Thoreau and you say he withdraws.
I don't think he did.
Actually. What he does, you see, he gets there where he can make contact, where he can engage his mind on what goes on.
Yes.
Now, when he's there and he just full of it, see, he's not thinking.
Very interesting. You know, that book was written a long time ago, and the other day I had brought Carl to a music lesson up here. And there was a guidepost, you know, it was Rather Current magazine. And there was an article in there by Mary Martin. And she was sort of given this as a new idea, but evidently she became involved in the complexities of the performing arts. And then she remembered that maybe to go away somewhere would be a good thing. So she and her husband got a little place in the mountains. At the time, her voice evidently had been under such stress she couldn't sing at all. And so she didn't sing for months and months and months, and she just enjoyed nature and just being quiet and all the things. And then an occasion came that she would work with some children. And at the time, she was pretty much apprehensive because she didn't know whether her voice would come back or not. It had really almost been ruined by this particular role she had played. But it did, and she brought up the idea of the fallow ground. You know, like in the Bible, that you actually, at some point in your life, perhaps, or times in your life when you actually have to let your ground go fallow before it can regenerate new life.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, this is what Thoreau did. He actually just let the ground be quiet for a while so that he could get more life. As he said, you know, to suck the very marrow of life. And, perhaps that's what you have to do.
Oh, when you got people hanging on you.
Get out. You just can't get away. And maybe like Mary Martin did or like Anne Lindbergh did. So this comes a challenge, practically, to find your solitude.
Yes. I don't think it's a matter of getting away from everything, you know, as people say.
Yeah.
I think it's just getting where things don't pull on you so you engage your mind. I don't want to be a vegetable. I'm not weary. The fellow said, I'm just aggravated, just tantalized. Now, you see, when I'm
like, I'm sort of raised to work, you know, I mentioned to you when I was growing up, all the aunts and uncles, everyone worked together.
That's right.
And it's just like my aunt from Orlando comes up. Well, she doesn't stand there and say, what can I do?
Yeah.
That's a rather stupid
question. She can see what to do.
She can see what to do, and she goes ahead and does it, and it makes it easy on everybody.
Yeah.
And then you have other people that come in, and they'll either get in your way by just talking to you too much when you're trying to think, you know, and organize something.
Yeah.
Or either they do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Or they keep standing and saying, what can I do? And it's like in her pecan episode.
Yeah.
You know. And it brought to mind, well, I had a lot to do with pecan.
But I'm not talking about subject matter. I'm talking about her method.
Her method. Well, she goes into detail quite a bit.
But she's concrete, and she has little episodes.
Yes, I could see that. Very
detailed. And she doesn't comment now.
No, it wasn't editorialized at all.
That's right. That's right.
I can tell.
Now, you see, you've got so much interesting material experience, but that's one little trick.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it, see.
She called them age 13 and age 15 without names, and
yeah.
She said more by calling them age 13, age 15.
Yeah.
Because anyone that knows kids this age, you're gonna act that way.
Yeah.
And you could just see them.
Yeah.
I guess she did it on purpose.
Well, she's an artist.
You know,
roof like that.
Yeah.
And I mostly remember, granted, it had a lot of groves, and I remember all the little darkies picking them for 2 cents a pound.
Yeah.
You know, in little bags out there. And we used long fishing poles, old bamboo poles. We used to have a great big old bamboo bush. And they would cut these long poles and take them and beat them out of the trees.
Oh, beat them.
And the trees were too big to put sheets under, and there were too many of them.
Mm-hmm.
She evidently just was exposed to a few trees, but we were exposed to groves of them. And then all the little kids would come in, had a big scale, and they'd come in and weigh their little sacks of pecans. And they had a big warehouse, bins and bins of them. And you know, you dump them in. And Granddaddy invented a big sorting table, sort of, with net wire in the bottom. And he had it rigged with a pulley so that after you sorted them, you could pull it up and it would go into the sacks.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to sit out there every afternoon and sort pecans after school. Everybody in the family. You know, I can't remember any. You just did what you were supposed to do. You know, nowadays you have a chore or someone says this is your job, but there you just did what happened to be up.
Mm-hmm.
If it was sewing bags up pecans, that's what you did, or you sorted.
We're talking about
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. That's what kind of pulled a bell in my mind about the pecans, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a lot different. And burning out the
long
torches.
Yeah. Now you keep those in your mind, and I'll set it down for you.
Now this is the end of this fine song. On Wednesday, the 18th of May, June 69, this is the new effort to tape the house, take a trip through Lois's house, that beautiful house. Oh, it is so beautiful. With Florence on Wednesday, the 18th of June, 69. Now there towards the end, when I was talking with Florence, Lois had to go into town to see Miss Phillips at the hospital. We stood out there and talked a bit. Mostly about Ishmael, and she's read Lillian Smith's Memories of a Large Christmas, and she sees that it's concrete in its episodes. Mrs. Smith doesn't editorialize, as she calls it. I say comment. So it was a fine session, and I'm so proud of it. And then we came on up here and finally got into the hay just after lunch. Got right up from lunch and went out into the hay. Raked it all right. And had it half baled, and the baler broke down. And it took the man an hour to get up here. After he got here, it took him an hour to fix it. The sun was hot, and the little tractor wouldn't start. And I got snappy. I came on in the house and told Faye, let her finish it for me with Nick. Nick did most of the lifting. And then I transferred this tape while we ate supper. Most of it. Then they went out and rode. Even as hot as it was, and it's late too, and I transferred the rest of it. Then I went over to Miss Patterson's. I left a little tape over there that I made last night for her to listen to, and she hadn't got around to listening to it. I picked up the machine and took it down to Lois to let her hear the tape herself. And I think she'll listen to it, and she'll enjoy it. So it's been a right full day. We taped this morning, and I transferred the tape, and we made hay, and the baler broke down, and Faye and Nick rode the horses, and, oh, we've had entertainment.